From the Jackalope Studios, high above the city in the beautiful Berry View Castle, welcome to the Harmony Health Hour, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright. You're not the only one I've ever had. And if I say I want to set you free,
hey, everybody, it's Friday night on the Jackalope Radio. Hope you all are doing fine out there. This is Dr. Drumright in the Harmony Health Hour. We got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of current events, things going on. We're going to go back into the Tao Te Ching a little bit. I'm going to start picking my favorite verses out on a weekly basis and kind of bring them up to discuss a little philosophy here. And
awesome.
And we just keep playing it forward and regenerating our bodies and loving life and all the adventures that unfold before us. We certainly live in interesting times. There's no arguing that. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing good. How are you, Dr. D?
Excellent, excellent. I'm very happy to be here with you all. Let's see. Let's start off a little bit. Let's go ahead and get right into the Tao Te Ching like we used to. We're going to go to verse number 13. It's called Identity. It's one of my favorites. Accolades can usher in great trouble for your body. Censor can herald misery. Why can favor and disfavor both be harmful? Because both accolades and censure, when filtered through self as ego, always place us in jeopardy. But when the universe becomes yourself, when you love the world as yourself, all reality becomes your haven, reinventing you as your own heaven. Only then will you transcend tense to fully be here now. Only then no harm will the universe proffer, nor you to her, for all you will be, not you, but she, and both, the universal great integrity. Both praise and criticism can result in harm when we relate to the world through an insatiable ego. Insatiable means never full, always hungry. Consumption. That is because when doing so, each honor generates a need for even greater honor, and each dishonor generates a lower self-esteem. In this way, honoring and dishonoring both can result in dissatisfaction, leading to a pathological state of body, mind, and emotions and spirit. However, when we identify ourselves as inextricable parts of the universe, rather than as our separate individual egos, accolades and criticisms, successes and failures, no longer have power over us, but are accepted as an intrinsic and harmless aspect of participation in the process. The transformation from predominant ego identity to predominant community identity is one of our joyful pathways to the great integrity. This is likens to the great paradox of humanity. A paradox means two seemingly different things existing at the same time. And the great paradox that we all face in each and every day is we find ourselves individual as a point of view, as a marker in place and time that's totally unique, never existed before, never will exist again. Yet at the same time, we find ourselves as an inextricable part of the background universe. So you are both the individual and the greater whole. The secret is, the way to deal with this in a healthy manner is, don't stroke the ego or the separate part of it, but understand that the benefits or the goodness of the separate part of it is simply a being in tune with the background, doing good deeds, always being helpful to your neighbors, always in my household, our motto is, how can I help? We enter every situation with that comment. I mean, those four simple words, how can I help, changes everything as far as your situation and how you deal with life and deal with other people. On the other side of it, the low self-esteem, you get into this guilt trip, you get into this you're not good enough kind of thing. There's the when you have a third party, somebody, a parent or a loved one or somebody in your local environment that's always knocking you and always downing you and always giving you grief and busting your balls and messing with you. That is actually zeroing in on the individual distinctions that sets you aside or seems to show up as being different from what's going on around you. But ultimately, even that is simply a temporary manifestation as things change and flow and ebb. No matter who you are or where you're at right now, that's not going to be solid or continuous or permanent in any way. Good, bad, or indifferent, the only thing for sure is that you're going to change and the world around you is going to change. So a step towards the great integrity is to recognize that you're on a river of change and that you're with others in that river of change and that your job is to, above all else, do no harm and to cultivate what you see around you, love it, recognize it as part of you and you as part of it. And always remember to be grateful as you move forward in your life. And I really love going back to the Tao Te Ching, Todd. In times of trouble, you read this 3,500-year-old manual that they had the same troubles then as we have now, and it brings that wisdom forward in full face.
It does, yeah.
A lot of people that I know that have just started reading this, they're troubled by it because it's difficult to understand the first time you read it. So if you go out and get a Tao Te Ching from me talking to you or anything you've heard of this book, I definitely recommend Dr. Dale's, Ralph Allen Dale's book, the big white book. It's called Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, because his interpretations are exquisite in the way he brings it up to modern times. There's a lot of manuals out there that try to be direct literal translations of the Tao Te Ching. And when you take a philosophy of circular reasoning and try to express it in an English linear language, you lose a lot of the essence of what they're talking about, because he thought and talked in circles, that everything has no beginning or end, but yet it circles. It comes around and around and around, and things continue on infinitely forward and infinitely backwards, and both ways is all the same. Where in our Western mindset, we're trained from a very early age that you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And everything is linear. It starts here, it goes to there, and it ends there. Very nice in logic. But that tends to guide our minds to start defining our universe in blocks of levels of conclusions and goals, and say, look, when I finish this, I'm done. And then when I'm done, I'm going to, for a perfect example, a diet. When an American goes on a diet, and we're coming up on the new year, so you're going to see a lot of these New Year's resolutions, and I'm writing a newsletter on this right now. A New Year's resolution is worthless because you're trying to set a temporary behavior, even though it conflicts with your internal identity and your beliefs of how you recognize yourself. So you can use the force of will to accomplish these goals, but only for a short while. Your will run out because your beliefs and your identities underneath will come to the surface and redisplay themselves. With your body being only 6 weeks old, you can even start seeing some changes in the cell population with the exercise or the diet changes or whatever you're doing for the New Year's resolution. But within 6 to 8 weeks, homeostasis will kick in, other priorities will happen, something will pop up, you'll change around your time schedules, and you'll be right back to the old behaviors, and your body will continue to remanifest with the problems that it's showing you. So what we have to do in this new year, especially moving into the 2012 year, is do away with the New Year's resolutions and replace them with the new identity. Redefine who you are by your choices of likes and dislikes, who you like, what you like, these kind of things. Don't start a diet that has an end, so you're going to do this for 2 months and then stop and think you're going to go back to the old way and then think somehow that's going to work, because I promise it will not work. It will reinforce low self-esteem because you were unsuccessful in accomplishing what you hoped to accomplish. And it wasn't that your effort wasn't good or that your output wasn't good, is that your initial goal was unreasonable. Because a goal of a short-term diet to change the body without changing the underlying identity and who you believe that you are is actually creating a conflict within yourself. Your will is conflicting with your want. And when the will conflicts with the want, you're unhappy. And if you're unhappy, then you're very unlikely to succeed in the changes that you know need to happen. So what we counsel with here at Harmony Health Clinic, and you know, I try to put it out there on the radio. I'm very much into open source, but sometimes coming in here and talking to me about your specific issues is very helpful, because we can put together some pathways for you, some Tao paths, so that you can start your own path towards enlightenment, specifically from where you're at now towards where your next step is going to be. But the essence of these classes and these things that I do in the clinic comes down to, you have to not change your behavior, but change your identity. You have to go deep and be mature enough to ask the hard questions of, who are you? Who do you think you are? I am a person who does not like green beans. Okay? I am a person that am stubborn in that I don't like to exercise. Okay? You have decided to define yourself as a person who doesn't like to exercise. Your body is demonstrating these decisions through its cell regeneration, because it molds itself according, without judgment, according to how you identify yourself and the decisions of your likes and dislikes. So the key is not to force or will, use your will to force yourself to exercise even though you don't like it. That's conflict. It's not happy. It's not sustainable. You have to literally go deeper and have the courage to look at your soul and say, I like exercise. I know that sounds silly. I know it sounds simple, but it works, and it works every time with a little bit of rehearsal. You simply change your self-speak, the way you talk to yourself, because your identity is not solid. It's not rigid. It's not permanent. You are changing. We all change. The universe changes. So as you are changing, if you're stubbornly holding on to an old identity or some activity or something that you identify yourself as, you know, alcohol or drugs or some behavior or something, that this is you, so that's what everybody expects out of you, that's what you expect out of you, but somehow you're still not happy, then it's time for you to have some soul searching and not force a new behavior without changing your likes and dislikes and your personal identity of how you identify yourself. So smoking, if you want to stop smoking, don't stop smoking if you like to smoke, because it's not going to work. Okay? If you like to smoke, smoke. Just not around me.
Yeah, or me.
Okay? But seriously, I mean, it's your life and we all got to be different. I mean, I am last person to think that everybody should be the same. I relish the variety of humanity. The thrill of seeing different ways of handling situations, and as a doctor, I have the great opportunity to witness people struggling with great challenges in their lives and finding an individual solution, an individual way of adapting to, of redefining, of going about things in such a way so that you can find joy and happiness and comfort in life, even if you're not perfect, because nobody is perfect. What is perfect?
True.
What is normal? You know, there is no such thing.
True.
These are illusions that the ego uses to confuse you and get you off track of what your true purpose is. And in my beliefs, your true purpose and all of our true purposes here is to prepare the planet and the earth for the coming generations. It doesn't belong to us. That's part of the ego. It belongs to the future. And you're here temporarily with one goal in mind, and that is to cultivate and prepare things for the coming generations. And quite honestly, of some of the news articles we're going to get into here in a minute, we're doing an absolutely lousy job of preparing the earth and her resources for the coming generations. Our disease of ego has eaten us up as a culture. We are so dominated by the consumerism. I am so tired of being defined as a consumer. How about we all become producers? Call yourself a producer. We want to change our identity. This is a good place to start. Stop listening to the media that tells you you are a consumer. They say 75% of the American economy is consumption. That is a problem. If you're not producing more than you're consuming, then you're on a downward spiral. You are decaying. You are not preparing the earth for the coming generations. You're consuming her and destroying her, for future generations will not have the capacity to survive, because you, 75% of what you do is consuming things, where it should be at least 50% production to 50% consumption. A harmonic balance would be 50-50, and I would suggest a more healthy situation for your sanity and the future would be a 55-45 or even a 60-40 kind of situation, where you're not 90% production, only 10% consumption, which would be like a huge austerity kind of thing where you're just totally suffering and denying yourself and your life for future reference. I don't think that's healthy or sustainable either. I think that we could reach a balance where the human being is productive about 60% versus his consumption, and that leaves a bonus or an abundance left over that is not hoarded but is shared, so that the people that aren't in a situation with fertile soil and these kind of things that can be productive in that manner can be productive in the way that they can, and then you share your abundance with each other so that there's seed and clean soil for the next generations, so that you see a continued process of evolution towards abundance, towards the lack of lack, if you will. The consumptive hoarding mentality that we have now, where you want to go out with the most toys or have the most stuff, is counterproductive to your happiness. And the recent study we saw a couple months ago about money and happiness, money buys happiness up to about $75,000 a year in America. Above that, you're actually, the things that you bought begin to own you, because you live in time, not in the physical world. You participate in the physical world, but your life is measured in time. So if you're spending time maintaining stuff, then stuff owns you. But if you're cultivating stuff to prepare it for the future, then your time is being spent in such a way that you get bonus happiness in your soul. Your soul, you as a human being, is most pleased and most comfort when you can look down and use your hands to make something, to be productive. Engineers, construction, digging oil or writing or producing music or all these kind of things are candy for the soul. They allow you a bit of distinction, because you created something and then you pass that something on into the greater mix for the future generations. So you reinforce your understanding that you're part of the greater picture, even though you can be distinct in the moment-by-moment activities that you participate in.
That's awesome, Doc.
All right, Todd, you ready for first break?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's get some music in here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some current events. This is Dr. Drumright in the Harmony Health Hour, coming to you from Jackalope Radio. We'll see you in a minute.
Always fight with pain. spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Somber, sweet, and sour, Jane, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
Measure spike with pain. That motherfucker's always spike with pain. Inside of me, I'm overcoming gravity. I'm overcoming gravity. It's easy when you're sad to be. It's easy when you're sad. Sad like me.
I like fish spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my
listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Drumright. This is the Harmony Health Hour on a Friday night on the Jackalope. Hey, a couple things out of the news we're going to get into. I guess our friends down on the south side, Australia, you guys have a new law. They've passed a law down there that if you don't vaccinate your children, then you will not have access to the $730 tax credit that they give you for your children. I guess Australia's federal tax law is similar to the United States, that you get tax credits for children. I don't know that much about that, but what they've just done in Australia is you don't get those tax credits if your children aren't fully vaccinated.
Weird.
Now, is that crazy or what? Whose body is it? It's your body.
Yeah.
Okay. Whose child is it? It's your child. So they know they can't mandate you get these vaccines, even though they say that they do mandate them. So what they're doing now is what's called social manipulation. They are taking the fruits of your labor through taxes and then granting some of your money back to you if you comply and endanger your children with these vaccines. And let me go through this a little bit more here, make sure I hit all the points here. News media throughout Australia have been doing Big Pharma's work by telling parents that they no longer have a choice in vaccinating their children. They're told that refusal will result in the loss of family tax benefits. That's kind of true. The immunization schedule for Australia children is increasing, so they're adding more vaccines to the schedule.
Jeez.
And using money manipulation to get you to expose your children to this. Just as it's doing elsewhere in the world, July 1st, 2012, a little over 6 months from now, parents are being told that they have no choice. Their children must receive every vaccine on the government schedule or lose their family tax benefits of $726 per child per year. They're especially hyping the whooping cough, and they're doing that here in the United States too. They say everybody needs a whooping cough booster shot to get into high school or to get into college. I'm getting all kinds of complaints from patients and parents and stuff. Oh, your kid's got to get his vaccine. However, they're not telling people the whole truth of the new outbreaks. The vaccine itself is the cause. The new outbreaks are the result of a new and more virulent variety of whooping cough that's a mutation resulting from the vaccine itself, and it's 10 times more deadly. Sweet. Nicola Roxon of the health minister has announced that there will be a new campaign to advise parents on how to protect their children from whooping cough. Of course, we already know that they will be suggesting vaccinations. So they continue to vaccinate with vaccines that are causing the new deadly whooping cough outbreak. How does that affect your confidence level?
Not at all.
So they're telling you, ask the expert. But I've hit on this in the clinic several times this week. We have a couple generations, a generational problem of I saw a commercial on TV this week. It was you see this doctor in his lab coat out running a jackhammer. And he's all falling over and, busting up. And then you got this great big old construction worker guy coming in the doctor's office trying to tell the doctor he doesn't want to take his medicines. And what they're trying to do is they're saying, he's not doing your job. Don't do his job. So they're saying, because the doctor can't run the jackhammer and you're the expert at that, then he shouldn't be running the jackhammer. And I agree with that. But the preposition or the jump to the assumption that you're too stupid to manage your own body is completely false. So they're taking something that seems common sense and then you see these commercials. I saw a couple of the Lipitor commercials again this week, and they say, get your cholesterol where your doctor wants it. They don't even try to tell you why you want your cholesterol that way or what's important about it or how it gets there. They just say, go to the expert because you're too stupid to know how to manage your own body. Go to the guy in the white lab coat. He's the expert. Trust the expert and he will take care of you. He will get your blood cholesterol to the level he likes it at. He's not going to take the time to explain to you why he's doing that or what the side effects are of the chemicals he's using to do that, but you don't need to know that stuff anyway. And there was a move by the FDA a couple years ago to get rid of all the when you watch the drug commercials on the radio, on the television, what's half the commercial?
It's telling you the things that can happen to you by taking it.
The other diseases that cause it. The side effects include death, dismemberment,
exactly.
These kind of things. Well, the FDA, I guess the drug masters, didn't like that because the sales weren't as good as they want them to be. So they tried to get a law passed to say, you know what? That's just confusing people, that the doctors know what the side effects are and the doctors can monitor that. We shouldn't have to be telling them all these scary things because they may not take the drug. Wow. So they want to set it up so that the expert is going to know whether it's going to kill you or not. And you don't need to know that. You're just supposed to get your cholesterol where your doctor wants it, not where you want it. No, you don't even need to know anything about that. You just run the jackhammer and let the doctors manage your body for you. Because ultimately, they don't think it's your body anyway. I mean, for goodness sakes, Obamacare is in place soon. You're going to have to buy the insurance and you're going to have to get the vaccinations. You're going to have to go through the exam forms and buy exactly what they say you have to buy because it's not your body. you're too stupid to know what to do with your body. You just get back to work and keep that consumption going. And then the experts will come in and use the produce of your labor to buy chemicals and inject them into your children without even asking you, without even telling you. This is crazy, mixed up, insane world we're living in.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts.
So the end of the Australian story is as you work through this, even in Australia, they have exemptions. So even though your media and your government and your schools and these kind of things are all going to tell you that it's mandatory to get your vaccines or you don't get your tax credit or you can't go to school or whatever kind of hollow threat they'll come up with, you have access to the internet now. You can look things up for yourself. Be your own expert. Stop waiting for some other expert to tell you what to do. Use the experts, the guys in the lab coats. Gosh, they have 8, 10, 12 years of school. So yeah, they got to know something. So consult with them, get their opinion on things, but don't just do what they tell you to do. I mean, they're not your king. They're not your boss. They're your counselors. You're paying them. So you are the boss. They offer intelligence, training, suggestions, things like this for your aid. But ultimately, you're supposed to be the decider. You're supposed to be the one that's liable for the choices that you make. Therefore, to maintain that liability, you've got to know what's going on. If they don't tell you what's going on, then they also take some liability for the decision, but they've got a legal system that protects them from that, so it gets all swished up in there, and you get damaged, and then you're just totally SOL because the culpable deniability system kicks in, and you're just left holding the bag because you didn't take the time to become your own expert and be your own doctor. I'm here for you. If you have questions, you can go to harmonyhealth.com anytime. You can get a hold of me at the clinic at 816-436-9355. And speaking of that, I'm going to give you a password right now. The password is Australia. If you listen to this radio show and you call the clinic this week to come in, I'm going to give you $20 off of your treatment if you give me the password, give the front desk the password, Australia. I'm not going to post that on Facebook. I'm not going to post that anywhere else. Just for listeners of the Harmony Health Hour, you're going to get a $20 discount if you tell Sharon and the girls up front the secret word is Australia this week.
There you go.
So that's it. Australia is your pass for $20 off a treatment here at the office. Awesome stuff.
Of course, someone will listen to the archives like 6 weeks from now.
You know what? If they do that, you know, and I'll reduce it. I'll restrict it down to this. One password coupon per person.
There you go.
Okay. So if it's on your file that you've already used the password, don't try to do it again. I'll mark it.
There you go.
If you're getting this on an archive sometime in the future and you hear me and I say, you come in and say Australia and it's not on your file, then I'll give you $20 off. My wife will probably shoot me for this, but.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people listen out of state. So if you're in the state.
Yeah, you're going to have to be in the state because that's the thing about being a chiropractor is for me to do my magic, I got to touch you. So I use the radio to give you information on how to heal yourself. Yeah. Find you a good chiropractor. I don't think he'll honor the Australia password, but find you a good chiropractor in your neighborhood. The way to find a good chiropractor is really easy. Ask him, do you do hands-on adjustment? It's just my personal opinion, but 20 years of doing this, the little clicker device, the activator, God bless it, it's not going to hurt you. But it's just not the same thing as somebody who uses his hands and actually performs spinal adjustments, good classic chiropractic adjustments. So ask him that question. Another good question to ask to find a good chiropractor is see if they're trained in acupuncture. If they've got advanced training in acupuncture, then they're going to be exposed to the Tao Te Ching. They're going to be exposed to a little bit more philosophy. They're going to be a more philosophically based physician. And remember that a well-trained chiropractor offers a complete alternative healthcare system. For every single question you have for your medical doctor, you can ask your chiropractor. He will have some alternative solutions for you, be it nutrition, herbal, homework exercise stuff, behavioral things, counseling on stress management, all these kind of things. A well-trained chiropractor has very successful, tested methods to help you rebalance your life, recover from your suffering, and get a grip on the regenerative powers of your body. So think of chiropractic as an alternative healthcare system. It's not just for backs by any measure at all. It's very much for your fronts and your ups and your downs and all aspects of it. And then you throw in acupuncture. Now you're talking about blood pressure and fertility issues and all kinds of complicated issues that you would think you only need to go to the lab coat experts that tell you what to do, the medics. But no, you can definitely consult your chiropractor about these kind of things. And if your individual chiropractor is not trained in specifics on what your question are, see if he can't find somebody else in the neighborhood that he can work with within the chiropractic community, and even refer into the medical community, because the chiropractor is going to know members of the medical community that are calm enough to actually participate in natural healing procedures versus the aggressive MRI, CAT scans, surgeries, major chemical drugs, and these kind of things. All right, Todd, you ready for another break?
We can do it.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about arsenic.
Hello. All
right, this is Dr. Drumright in the Harmony Health Hour. We'll see you in a minute.
The best, the best, the best.
You're listening to Dr. Daryl Drumright and the Harmony Health Hour on Jackalope Radio.
All right, we're back. This is the last segment of the Harmony Health Hour. It's Friday night on the Jackalope Radio. Hope everybody's feeling good out there. It's December in Missouri. All right, the last segment we're going to focus on poisoning, arsenic. Arsenic is a poison. It's known to be a poison for thousands of years. It's long been recognized as a poison, and it contaminates drinking water. But new concerns are growing about arsenic in foods, especially in fruit juices that are a mainstay for our children. Controversy over arsenic in apple juice made headlines as the school year began. And then the Dr. Oz brought this up. I guess you watch Dr. Oz, Todd?
Nope.
No, I get a lot of patients that watch Dr. Oz, and I tell you what, he does definitely hit on some good subjects, and the guy seems to be a really straight shooter. I don't watch him, but I like him. And when people come in and say what he says, and I'm like, yeah, I've been saying that for 20 years, well, that means that at least he's getting the word out, and I got a blessing for that. He told viewers that tests he's commissioning his own research. That's awesome. Found 10 of 3 dozen apple juice samples with total arsenic levels exceeding 10 parts per billion. There's no federal arsenic threshold for juice or most foods, though the limit for bottled and public water is 10 parts per billion. So, his studies found that, 10 out of 3 dozen. So 36, 10 out of 36, 1 out of 3, basically, of the tested juice boxes had arsenic levels that exceed what your government guidelines are for your drinking water. The FDA is trying to reassure consumers about the safety of apple juice, claim that most arsenic in juices and other foods is the organic type that is essentially harmless. But an investigation by Consumer Reports shows otherwise. Our study includes tests of apple and grape juice, scientific analysis of federal health data. Their tests find that roughly 10% of our juice samples from 5 brands had total arsenic levels exceeding federal drinking water standards. 1 in 4 samples had lead levels higher than the FDA bottled for 5 parts per billion in bottled water. As with arsenic, apple and grape juice concentrates a significant source of dietary exposure to arsenic, according to our analysis of federal health data from 2003 to 2008. Children drink a lot of juice, because you don't want to drink soda pop. You know, we get them to not drink soda. We think we're making a good decision. Oh, okay, no soda pop here. This says actual juice. It's apple juice or grape juice. Well, what do you know? The apple juice and grape juice is contaminated with this arsenic and lead, and we'll get into what that does to you later on. Children drink a lot of juice. 35% of children 5 or younger drink juice in quantities exceeding pediatricians' recommendations. Mounting scientific evidence suggests that chronic exposure to arsenic and lead, even at levels below water standards, can result in serious health problems. Tainted brands include Minute Maid, Mott's, Gerber, Welch's, and Great Value, Walmart, among others. Our findings have prompted Consumer Union, the advocacy arm of Consumer Reports, to urge the FDA to set arsenic and lead standards for apple and grape juice. We believe that juice should be at least meet the 5 parts per billion lead limit for bottled water, at least. They recommend even lower arsenic levels limits for juice, 3 parts per billion. Okay, so if arsenic is so bad, how come you don't see people sick and dying from it? But many diseases are likely to increase by exposure, even at relative low levels. They're so common that people mistake them for other issues. We're going to get into that here as we run through this. Okay, sources of exposure. Arsenic is a naturally occurring element that can contaminate groundwater, used for drinking and irrigation in areas where it's abundant. It's parts of New England, the Midwest, and the Southwest. Public exposure to arsenic extends beyond these areas because since 1910, the United States has used roughly 1.6 million tons of it for agriculture and other industrial uses. About half of that cumulative total has been used since only the mid-1960s. Lead arsenate insecticides were widely used in cotton fields, orchards, and vineyards until their use was banned in the 1980s. But residues in the soil can still contaminate the crops. For decades, arsenic was also used as a preservative for pressure-treated lumber commonly used for decks and playgrounds. You remember, don't get a splinter from the creosils and the decks. 2003, this was banned. But the old wood is still used in mulch, so you're still seeing arsenic exposure in the groundwater. Coal fire plants use arsenic smelters, heat arsenic containing ores to process copper or lead. To form arsenic in the example above is inorganic arsenic. It is a carcinogenic known to cause bladder, lung, and skin cancer in people and to increase risk of cardiovascular disease, immunodeficiencies, and type 2 diabetes. These are things that the doctor's looking somewhere else. He's not looking for arsenic. Looking for arsenic in your normal doctor exam is not normal. They don't include that as part of your normal physical exams. The other form of arsenic is organic arsenic created when arsenic binds to molecules containing carbon. Fish can contain an organic form of arsenic called arsenobetaine, generally considered non-toxic. Use of organic arsenic in agriculture products has also caused concern. In 2006, the EPA took steps to stop the use of herbicides containing organic arsenic because of their potential to turn into inorganic arsenic in the soil, contaminating the drinking water. And in 2011, working with the FDA, drug company A Pharma agreed to suspend the sale of Roxorson, a poultry feed additive, because it contained an organic form of arsenic that could convert into inorganic arsenic inside the bird, potentially contaminating the meat. Or it could contaminate the soil when chicken droppings are used as fertilizer. Other arsenic feed additives are still being used. What the tests found. We tested juice from bottles, cans, and juice boxes that we bought in three states. They shopped in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York between August and September, buying 28 juices and three grape juices. 28 apple and three grape. We got our samples from ready-to-drink bottles and bags. We tested 88 samples in all. We found five samples of apple juice and four of grape juice had total arsenic levels exceeding 10 parts per billion federal limit for bottled and drinking water. They ranged from 1.1 to 13.9 parts per billion, and the grape juice were 5.9 to 24.7 parts per billion. Most of the total arsenic in our sample was inorganic, our test showed, which is the bad stuff. As for lead, about 1/4 of all juices, 25% of all juices samples had levels at or above the 5 parts per billion limit for bottled water. The top level for apple juice was 13.6 parts per billion, for grape juice, 15.9. Apple and Eve, Great Value, Mott's, America's Choice, Gerber, Gold Emblem, Great Value, Joe's Kids, Minute Maid, Seneca, Walgreens were all samples that contained arsenic and lead.
Man.
All right, so where is this coming from? Arsenic-tainted soil in the U.S. orchards is a likely source of contamination for apples, and findings with arsenic in juices we tested is not surprising. Even with a ban on lead arsenate insecticides, we are finding problems with some Washington State apples, not because of irresponsible farming practices now, but because lead arsenate pesticides that were used here decades ago remain in the soil. See, crazy way of just increasing productivity at all costs is still coming back to haunt us.
Exactly.
Over the years, a shift has occurred in how juice sold in America is produced. To make apple juice, manufacturers often blend water with apple juice concentrate from multiple sources. For the past decade, most concentrate has come from China. Concerns have been raised about the possible continuing use of arsenical pesticides there, and several Chinese provinces that are primary apple growing regions are known to have high arsenic concentrations in groundwater. Let's get on with this. Answering a crucial question. We also wanted to know whether people who drink juice end up being exposed to more arsenic than those who don't. So we commissioned an analysis of data from the National Health and Nutritional Examination Survey, conducted annually, blah, blah, blah. U.S. population based on interviews, physical exams that may include blood and urine tests. Data on lead in the blood participants was instrumental in developing policies that successfully resulted in lead being removed from gasoline. I want to just kind of cut to the graph of this. I mean, because these are, I don't want to just sit there and read the whole thing to you guys.
Right.
You can look it up yourself. 3,000 study participants found that those reporting apple juice consumption had an average 19% greater levels of total urinary arsenic than those subjects who did not. And those who reported drinking grape juice had 20% higher levels of urinary arsenic. The results might understate the correlation between juice consumption and urinary arsenic levels because urinary data exclude children younger than six. We tend to be who tend to be the big juice drinkers. So this is people that aren't under six that are constantly drinking juice are still showing up with a 20% higher arsenic level in their urine than people who don't drink juice at all. The current analysis suggests that these juices may be an important contributor to dietary arsenic exposure. So what does the arsenic do to you? Arsenic has been notoriously used as a poison since ancient times. A fatal poisoning would require a single dose of inorganic arsenic about the weight of a postage stamp. But chronic toxicity can result from long-term exposure at much lower levels. In 2004, a study of children in Bangladesh suggested diminished intelligence based on test scores in children exposed to arsenic in drinking water at levels above 5 parts per billion. He now conducted a similar research study in living in New Hampshire and Maine, where arsenic levels are 10 to 100 parts per billion are commonly found in well water, to determine whether better nutrition in the United States affects the results. People with private wells may face greater risk than those on public systems. So mark note of that, okay? If you have your own well, make sure that you're having arsenic tests done on a regular basis of your well water, because you may be poisoning yourself when you think you're doing something right. Okay. People with private wells, a study published in 2011, brand new study, International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. Long-term effects of low-level exposure of more than 300 rural Texans whose groundwater was estimated to have arsenic at median levels below the federal drinking water standard, it found that exposure was related to poor scores in language, memory, and other brain functions.
Hmm.
So if you've got a child that's having a hard time with school and he's totally consuming these boxes of juices and stuff like that, it'd probably be a good idea to go to the doctor and get some blood work and urine tests to see if he's got high arsenic or lead exposure. That might be what's causing it. Also, autoimmune problems. The doctors miss this stuff, the diabetes, the inflammation, the rheumatoid arthritis, the childhood rheumatoid arthritis. These kind of diseases are all, could easily be heavy metal toxicity diseases that aren't tested for. Your doctors go through a number of things looking for bacteria, looking for viruses, but they forget to look for these heavy metal toxins. And because there's no drugs to fix a heavy metal toxin, you have to detox and get these things out. Chronic arsenic exposure can initially cause gastrointestinal problems, which means diarrhea, bloating, bowel problems, cramping, skin discolorations or lesions. So you get scaly scabs on your skin. Exposure over time, which the World Health Organization says it could be 5 to 20 years, could increase risk of various cancers, high blood pressure, diabetes, reproductive problems. Signs of chronic low-level arsenic exposure can be mistaken for other ailments, such as chronic fatigue syndrome. Usually, the connection to arsenic exposure is not made immediately because they don't test for this, not on a standard basis. Testing for arsenic isn't part of a routine checkup, says Dr. Duffy. When you come in with symptoms like I had, ordering that kind of test probably wouldn't even have occurred to most doctors. Emerging research suggests that when arsenic exposure occurs in the womb or in early childhood, it not only increases cancer risk later in life, but also can cause lasting harm to children's developing brains, endocrine, and immune systems. Endocrine means their hormones. So their puberty and their maturity and their immune system and their brain development and their IQ and all these kind of things, when the mom's exposed to this lead and arsenic while she's pregnant, can absolutely disrupt the potential of this child for their entire life. Because while their brain is forming, there is heavy metal poisons that are preventing the neurons from connecting properly and the immune system from gaining its full health. Recent studies have shown early exposure to arsenic carries the most serious long-term risk. So even though reducing arsenic exposure is important for everyone, we need to pay special attention to protecting pregnant moms, babies, and young kids. Other dietary exposures, and this is an important one. Besides the juices that got this all started, one of the most common sources of arsenic in your diet is rice. Rice and even baby food have been found to contain arsenic, sometimes at higher levels than the amount found in juice. Similar results turned up in 2004 study conducted by the FDA scientists who found arsenic levels up to 24 parts per billion in baby food with sweet potatoes, carrots, green beans, and peaches containing only the inorganic form. A United Kingdom study published in 2008 found that levels of inorganic arsenic in 20-ounce packets of dried infant rice cereals range from 60 to 160 parts per billion.
Man.
This is in baby food.
It's crazy.
Rice-based infant cereal are often the first solid foods the baby eats. So they're just getting off mama's breast milk, and they're being exposed to high levels of these neurotoxins, these heavy metal toxins. Rice frequently contains high levels of inorganic arsenic because it's among plants that are unusually efficient at taking up arsenic from the soil and incorporating it or putting it into the grains that people eat. Moreover, much of the rice producing in the United States is grown in Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, and Texas on land formerly used to grow cotton, where arsenical pesticides were used for decades. Initially, in some regions, rice planted there produced little grain due to these arsenical pesticides, but farmers then bred a type of rice specifically designed to produce high yields on contaminated soil. So they did some DNA modification so that the rice grows on contaminated soil, so you get lots of money because you're selling the rice, but this rice is tainted because it's growing in soil poisoned by pesticides and arsenic and lead contaminants.
No good, Doc. No good at all.
His research over the past 6 years has shown that the U.S. rice is among the highest average inorganic arsenic levels in the world, almost three times higher than levels in basmati rice imported from low arsenic areas of Nepal, India, and Pakistan. Rice from Egypt has the lowest levels of all. Infant rice cereals for the U.S. market is generally made from U.S. rice, Mihang says, but labeling usually doesn't specify country of origin. He says exposure to arsenic through infant rice cereals could be reduced greatly if cereal makers use techniques that don't require growing rice in water-flooded paddocks or if they obtain rice from low arsenic areas. His 2007 study found that median arsenic levels in California rice were 41% lower than levels in rice from the South Central states. So, parents, if you are feeding your children a rice-based cereal, find out where that rice is coming from, because it looks looking like these are very modern studies. This is 2011, 2008, that the rice grown in central and southern United States is highly contaminated with neurotoxins, arsenic. Get a hold of me at Harmony Health through the website. Ask questions. I can give you links to some of this research. This is very important stuff because heavy metal poisons, arsenic, and lead will simulate other diseases that your doctor's labeling you with, and they may not. And so your treatments are going to be not proper, because what we need to do is do some niacin and some heavy metal detoxing to these children to get their brain functioning before it's too late. I think I'm out of time. It's Friday night. Jack Love, I hope you guys all have a great weekend. I'll see you next week. This is Dr. Drumright, the Harmony Health Hour. God bless.